It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
Okay, episode trigger alert. This might get some people riled up, but you know what? I'm confident after I finish this episode, we're going to have a lot of converts. We're going to have people say, you know what? Woke culture is making me weaker, is making us fatter, is making us more vulnerable. And I'm going to go over a lot of studies and proof of what's going on here, but this is something that we don't have to be offended about. We don't have to have our back against the wall because I'm not attacking anybody. I am not personally attacking an individual. I am solely looking at society as a whole and saying we are a much weaker society, right? We are easily offended. We are entitled. We're fragile. We're literally weaker, which we'll get into. We're more vulnerable than ever. We're fragile. We're coddled. We're protected. We're scared to do uncomfortable things for, you know, God knows why. Like, we are just overly coddled and protected as if this world isn't full of challenges. Like, if any time that we've ever experienced, you know, in our life, let's just say people that haven't really experienced crazy challenges over the last 2 years with the pandemic going on, like, challenges arise. Like, trying to hide people from the idea that there are challenges in life and that it's not always going to be rainbows and sunshine, like, that's part of life. Like, as part of being an adult, learning how to persevere, learning how to be more resilient, learning how to be more capable, learning how to persist in the face of discomfort, persist in the face of pressure. You are going to have anxiety. Does that mean that you are an anxious person? Like, anytime if I had to get on stage originally to speak to an audience, if I had to do a public speaking thing in class, like, you're anxious as a kid, but you learn to get better at it with practice. Going into your first jiu-jitsu class, going into the gym for the first time, starting a new job, new opportunities, more pressure, playing a sport. Like, you're anxious. Like, things can go wrong. You can look like a fool. Like, that's life. But life is competition, right? Like, it's as primal as it gets. There's winners and there's losers. Like, we don't live in a world where everybody is equal. Everyone is going to be given the best opportunities. Everybody is going to get the best opportunities, right? We're not all going to make the same money. We're not all going to live the same life. There's going to be some people that prosper, some people that struggle and suffer through life. And that's the way it should be, because not because those people deserve to suffer, because I want there to be an equal playing ground in terms of all everybody having an opportunity to make or break their life. Like, we shouldn't just be given things. Like, that is a poor strategy, piss poor strategy, because you want to give people money. You want to give a poor individual money. They are going to spend that money on shit that they don't need nor progresses them in life. The majority of poor people. Why? Because they haven't built the habits to manage their finances. They haven't built the habits to manage their choices and behaviors. They're still going to do dumb shit, right? If you land yourself in $20,000 of credit card debt without changing your behaviors, and now I give you $20,000 more, what do you think credit cards do? They literally give you more credit because they say, hey, this person fucking loves to spend money, so let's give them more money on their credit card. Like, we literally give people more money on their credit cards and they spend more. They don't learn. They don't go, wow, I was just given a $10,000 increase in my credit card. I'm going to be more financially astute and aware now. It's like, no, I'm going to spend it. Like, people do that. So the idea that we're just going to give people things, we're going to make life easier, we're going to make life more convenient. Hey, all good things. That's what social media, or that's what the digital era is doing. It's making things more convenient, more accessible than ever. Fantastic. A lot of good can come from that. But a lot of bad can come from that. And we're seeing that more now than ever. Because we are. The stats are there. The proof is there. We can't argue with this. If you were to say, no, Brandon, but we live in a society now where people are more mentally strong and resilient than ever. They're prospering. They don't feel defeated. Everything's going in the right direction. I would say, yeah, you have a point. But all the research shows otherwise. It shows we're becoming more sedentary. We're becoming less capable, less resilient. We are sick more often. We have higher rates of mental health disorders. We have an obesity epidemic. We have people freaking out because they watched the news for 2 years and they're unable to pull themselves out of a rut and say, I need to fix my own life. I need to take care of my own life. I need somebody to protect me. I need somebody to tell me what to do. Like, we're living in a world where we want to be protected at all costs. We still see this. People, they don't want to get sick. They don't want to be offended. They say, I'm not going to leave my house. We shouldn't lift any mandates. I'm trying not to get into COVID rant here, but think about it. I don't want life to get back to normal until I'm 100% protected. And you hear those fuckheads talk. I'm not saying you're that person, but there are crazies out there on both sides. I get it. But some people want to be 1,000% protected in a world that it is impossible to be 100% protected. You can, like, there's always going to be a chance. You can walk outside your house and get mugged or get hit by a car or slip on some ice or get fired that day. Okay? I think we saw a lot of that over the pandemic. A lot of people lost their jobs, but we wanted daddy government to help us out, right? Tell us what to do. Get lied to. It doesn't matter. Keep telling what to do. Like, we weren't able to stand on our own 2 feet and figure out how to fix our own situation. We kept looking for answers, outside answers, external answers, rather than looking internally, because we didn't have the capacity, the strength, the toughness, the grit to figure it out ourselves. And you saw that a lot of people that were mentally strong, that are capable people, that are resourceful people, they prospered in this. I'm in the fitness industry, guys. We got hit maybe the hardest. Okay? I had the option to either crumble or figure shit out, become resourceful, you know, go against what's going on, figure out how to prosper. Probably had two of my better years personally, right? Doing the things I wanted to do, figuring it out, becoming more creative, more resourceful. So, and then we had other people that relied on taking a government subsidy and not figuring their own shit out, getting in worse shape, becoming less resourceful, less skillful, becoming more dependent. Like, what are you talking about? This is the time where you need to go out and figure your own shit out. Create your own life, create your own destiny, because guess what? At a matter of a second, everything can be taken away from you. And now your destiny is in somebody else's hands. And now you don't have any freedom or control. And people are living like that. And they're unwilling to adjust their behaviors to take control of their own life. So let's take a look at some of the cool proof here of us becoming weaker. Right now, there was just an article released from an army major, it's a press release. Here's the quote. Gen Z's, which I think it's from like the 2000s onwards, or, you know, mid-90s. I don't think I'm Gen Z. If I am, oh man. But Gen Z's sedentary lifestyle is leaving them more prone to injuries in military boot camp. Soldier skeleton is not toughened by activity prior to arrival. Some of them break more easily. Like, this is the world. Now, is this surprising to people? Of course not. Right? Of course, we're going into situations unprepared and weaker than ever. Like, I get things are going to change because things are more convenient. There's more digital jobs. There's more opportunity to work from home. There's more opportunity in general, which is a good thing. There's a lot of good with that. But the problem is we're not forced to get outside, get activity, move our body, get stronger. So now we have to individually take that into our own hands and do the work, because we're no longer working all these blue collar jobs where we're moving our body, we're getting a lot of non-exercise activity throughout the day, that we're actually working with our hands, doing things that are manual labor oriented, right? We're sitting in chairs, our posture's become shit, we're getting 1500 steps a day, and we don't want to move our body after the day's over because we're too fucking tired. because sitting there is tiring. It sounds odd. It sounds strange, but days I'm on the computer writing or, you know, doing some work, I'm fucking tired after 2 hours. If I'm out and about working with clients, doing my thing, going to the gym, going to the trail, I have a whole bunch of energy because I'm getting sunlight, I'm getting interaction, I'm getting connection, I'm moving my body, I'm mobilizing the system, I'm creating blood flow to my brain, to my muscles. Like, things are working. I'm actively engaged, not in front of a computer screen all day long. And again, if you are, that's the majority of people. It's not a bad thing, but what you need to have is awareness to say, hey, this shit's not healthy for me. You know, I'm not improving my posture here. I'm shortening my hip flexors. I have low back pain. I need to move. I need to actively take my body's health in my own hands and do something about it. Or I'm going to feel like trash and I'm going to look like trash at a rapid rate. And this is what's happening, right? We saw the obesity epidemic over the course of COVID. And well before that as well. Here's the rise of obesity, okay? From 1999 to 2000, we were at about 30.5% of Americans, it's a US study, were obese. So what's obesity, by the way, guys? It is anything over 30 BMI, body mass index, which can be a little bit off-putting sometimes in terms of how valid it is, because I might have a higher body mass index based around my height to weight ratio, right? I might hold a lot more muscle mass for my height, so I can be higher in the BMI scale even though I'm 10% body fat. So typically, fat percentage is your better bet, but again, so we'll give a couple percentage gap here or lenience because we know that can be the case. But either way, high obesity rate. So 1999, 2000, 30.5% of the American population is considered obese. From 2017 to 2018, so within a 17 to 18 year span, we went up from 30.5% to 47.4%. Okay? Severe obesity rose from 4.7% to 9.2%. So they almost doubled there. Like, those are some substantial gains in obesity over a course of 15 years. Right, and the medical cost alone of obesity is $147 billion a year. Insanity. And here's a crazy stat: adults 20 and older in 2017, 2018, 73% of the population is considered overweight or obese. 73.6%. Let that sink in for a second. 3 out of 4 people. Now, I get America's probably definitely fatter than Canada. Canada is not far behind. So we're having this obesity epidemic unfolding right in front of us. We're seeing people become slower, increasing risk of disease, illness, life shortening. And this is the real thing. This is like the irony of what happened with COVID to me, is people were so worried about their loved ones dying. Of course, we all should have been. But then we didn't take care of our health. We didn't look at this as an opportunity to be like, wow, I really want my loved ones to live longer. Maybe we should get stronger and we should get in better shape and improve our fitness level and not be one of the obese, overweight individuals. Because guess what? That's going to probably shorten that individual's lifespan by 5 to 15 years, studies show. So if we really want our loved ones to live longer, promote getting healthier, getting stronger, not being obese, not being in this position where you're at incredibly high risk of COVID-19 severity, but also heart disease, stroke, inflammation, cancers, diabetes, hypertension, low quality living, overall well-being going down. Like, these are things that matter, let alone not... Let's not even talk about health span, but lifespan. Or sorry, not just lifespan, but health span as well. When you live to a certain age, don't you want to live healthier? Don't you want to feel better? Don't you want to feel like you can move and do things, right? Rather than just becoming rapidly more overweight. But this is what's going on in the world, right? We have this obesity epidemic that is causing people to not want to do shit because they don't feel so good, right? Obviously, you got low energy, you feel like garbage, you don't have a lot of confidence, body hurts. Sure, it sucks. It's easy to do the comfortable thing. And that's the problem with woke culture, is that we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to step on toes. We don't want to say, hey, Bob, you're getting fat. You should fix that because it's not going to be good for your health. In the now, in the future, you are decreasing your quality of life. You are probably going to live much, you're going to die sooner, the better way to put it, because you're not taking care of your health, right? But again, we don't want to say that because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to trigger someone because God forbid we tell someone they're out of shape, or we're honest with people saying, hey, if you got in better shape, you would feel much better. You would have more confidence. You'd have more energy, more enthusiasm, more drive, more ambition. You would feel great. You would perform better. You would probably make more money. You would take on more opportunities. You'd go out and learn and educate yourself and chase passions. You would feel good behind closed doors where you wouldn't look for external validation on social media. You would be confident in the very skin you own. And this is the problem. We see people that are in the limelight that they go from obese and overweight. Adele, perfect example, went from looking a certain way, probably feeling like shit, right? She's probably like, what, 60 to 90 pounds overweight at one point. So she was probably feeling like garbage. She was probably having a hard time breathing. She was probably having low energy, probably hated the way she looked in the mirror, didn't have a lot of confidence. And again, I'm pretty sure you could just find all the stuff that she talked about and why she decided to change her body and have this dramatic shift in her lifestyle. And then she changed it. She got in better shape. She worked out. She literally improved her life. She enhanced her quality of life and overall well-being. She did it the right way. She probably improved her mental well-being as well because she started seeing food a different way. She started looking at exercise as something that is progressive, something that is based around growth mindset, that she gets to challenge herself in a positive environment. Yet she was attacked for people saying congratulations for putting this work in and getting this result and looking way better. It's like, are we in denial that she looks better now? Like, she literally looks like a rocket now. She didn't look like that when she was 90 pounds overweight. If you want to challenge me on that, feel free to challenge me on that. Not saying she doesn't deserve to be loved, that she doesn't deserve to love herself, that she isn't a good person, that she's a bad person, and we should demonize her and villainize her. No. But what we're saying is, let's call a spade a spade. She looks way better now. And she probably feels, sorry, let's scrap that. She feels way better now. Obviously, you have less tension, less inflammation, more ability to do things that you want to do, more energy, more enthusiasm, more confidence, more drive, more personal self-worth. You're not going to feel better. Why are we trying to demonize those qualities? Why are we trying to push the direction of people should just self-accept themselves at all costs? Like, what does that do for somebody? How does that help their cause? If you think saying you're perfect the way you are is helping somebody, it is not. We live in a world where we see that's not the truth. We always have things to work on. And guess what? That's a huge part of life, is constant pursuit of passions and growth and learning and bettering ourselves. Like, that's a huge quality to have in terms of overall health and lifespan. But yet we're saying, don't worry about doing anything to improve yourself because you're good the way you are. How about we say, hey, love yourself, take care of yourself. Don't beat yourself up, but also treat yourself like someone you love. Treat yourself like you would want a loved one to treat themselves, right? Do things that make you feel happy past 2 hours, right? Do things that make you feel whole, fulfilled, self-actualized, and that you're not suppressing feelings of hate and resentment towards yourself and others. Like, when you feel good, when you're living your best life, when you're capable, you're looked at as someone who's reliable, who's healthy, who has a lot of admirable characteristics, that they take care of their body, they take care of their mind. Like, let's push that narrative because it's good for the overall. It's good for you to do those things. It's better to do those things than to say, I'm good the way I am, and to not do those things. Like, that is a fast track to depression. That is a fast track to feeling like shit. And you hear it all the time. Anybody who's lost like 100 pounds, they go, mentally, I just feel way better. I felt like shit being that overweight. So why are we pushing the narrative that it's okay to be that weight? It's okay to be horribly out of shape and to feel like shit 50% of the time. The times when you're not doing something that gives you a quick release dopamine, when you're not getting some sort of external validation or you're stuffing yourself with food and distractions and vices that keep you away from actually looking at your situation from an authentic manner, right? We can hide from the truth pretty damn good, right? It's not that hard to hide from the truth. We got to be strategic. We got to do things to distract us. But what happens when we're not distracted? Ironically, when we're distracted, we feel like shit too sometimes, most of the times, because we're on social media, on a digital platform where we start comparing ourselves, or we start looking at our situation, or we start saying, man, like, my life is not where I want it to be, where it should be, because I deserve better. I should be doing better, right? I should be healthier. I should be able to do the things I want. And when you don't feel good, you don't pursue the things you want. You don't have the confidence or the drive or the ambition or the enthusiasm or the self-worth, the self-belief that you can do it, because you've proven to yourself over the last how many years that you can't be disciplined or structured enough to take care of your health. So that trickles down into other aspects of your life. Like, that's behavioral psychology 101. Like, people want to make this big impact. They want to virtue signal to the whole world of be okay, self-acceptance, self-love, all this stuff. And oh no, everybody's good, but that's not the reality. So we need to stop fooling ourselves. We need to stop pushing this narrative and say instead, love yourself, but then also act in accordance in a way that shows you love yourself. And when you love yourself, you take care of yourself. You do things that are good for your mind, good for your spirit, good for your emotional well-being, good for your physical health, physical well-being, for your family's life, filling up your cup, having high energy, feeling good about yourself, authentically, genuinely feel good about yourself. We're not using humor to, you know, push the narrative away. We're not trying to distract ourselves, but we're honestly self-auditing our situation and saying, what would make me feel really good about the person that I am? Like, taking the time to write those 10 things out and being healthy, being someone who has a healthy mind and a healthy body is going to be up there in the top 10 for basically every single person. And if you don't prioritize that or don't think that's a top 10, it's because you're distracting yourself and you've gotten really good at telling yourself a fake story or living a fake reality of, no, I'm fine the way I am. Like, you're not, because if we really dialed this onion back, we peeled the onion back, you would see, wow, my sex life isn't where I want it to be because I don't feel attractive, or I don't have a strong libido. I have high stress all the time. I'm high strung. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I'm overweight. I don't like the way I look. I don't feel good. I have digestive issues. I have tension. I have bloating. I have this and that. Like that's the reality of the situation. The older you get, if you don't take care of your health, guess what happens? You have this rapid decrease of lean muscle tissue, and your anabolic hormones and testosterone usually drops down pretty good. And if those things don't happen, you're one of the lucky ones. But it's obviously going to happen. It's going to go down, obviously. We know that, but maybe not at a rapid rate. But we do see that speed up quite heavily as you age. But there's just so many little things to look at. And for me, maybe because I look at it as a whole picture, I look at the six aspects of my life, the spiritual, the mental, the emotional, the physical, the professional, the financial. Like, I want those things to be nurtured, right? All those things. So we live in a world where we're trying to coddle people, we're trying to protect everybody from harm, we're trying to protect everyone from having their feelings hurt, from being offended, you know, that we're all winners. Like, no, there's losers in this world, right? That's why we have competitions. Like, that's why when you look at the Olympics, there's a lot of losers in the Olympics. All phenomenal athletes, but I'm saying, like, losers as in people lose a race. That's okay. Like, they're amazing individuals in terms of their physical accomplishments. But there, people lose, and that's life. When you get older, you're going to lose. You know, there's going to be another person who has a better resume, better portfolio, better skill set, and they're going to get a better job than you. They're going to make more money than you. If they do it right, they take care of the health, they'll have more opportunity, more leverage than you. Right? If not, right, if you think that's unfair, what are you going to do? You're going to complain, make excuses, or you're going to have to settle for a job you don't want to fucking do. You know, you're going to have to settle for a life that you're just okay with because you don't have the prerequisites and the discipline and the structure to build a better life for yourself. So now your hands are tied. And rather than fixing it, you'll complain about it and you'll make excuses. And we think that protecting our kids, and I don't have kids, but I can't fucking wait till I have kids for the aspect. I can wait. But in terms of actually getting them to be strong parts of society, being self-reliant, being tough, being durable, being resilient, being gritty, being wise, intelligent, resourceful, all those things, like, we honestly bubble wrap people these days thinking it helps them. Like, it is making them so much weaker. Like, you need to have people go through challenges. You need them to figure things out. You need them to deal with adversity. You need them to bounce back from failure. Like, it's okay. You failed. You didn't succeed. We got to get better, I guess, right? We got to improve this aspect of our life. You don't feel good? Well, let's find a way to feel better. You're getting beat up all the time? Well, how about we get tougher? How about we actually figure out how to defend ourselves? Build that confidence. Build that skill set. Like, hiding from the problem doesn't fix the problem. Even if you stop getting beat up at school, for example, you're still scared. You're still scared of the potential. Sure, you might not be getting picked on physically, but you're not feeling good about yourself. You feel a little bit better because you're not getting your ass kicked or getting bullied after school. But wouldn't it be better to give that person the confidence that if shit went down, they could handle themselves and that they could actually switch and flip the script? Like, isn't that empowerment? And isn't that what working out's about? It's empowerment. It's knowing you can handle challenges and difficulties and come out on the other end better, stronger, more capable, fitter, more conditioned. Like, that's cool. Like, that's the feeling we should be pushing, but instead we're so scared to tell people that they could be doing better, that it's their fault, that you're in control. Like, that's empowering. When I hear that, and I go, whoa, I'm in control of my circumstances. I'm in control of my life. That's awesome. It's nobody else's fault that I'm where I am. So that means if I just put the work in, if I do what I need to do, I can basically get what I want. I can make more money. I can get in better shape. I can change how my physique looks. I can change how I think about things, how I look at things, my perspectives, how I reframe situations. I can control my attitude. Empowering, that's what it is. But instead, we coddle people. We coddle our relatives. We coddle our family members. We coddle our friends and community. Because for some reason, we think this woke fucking culture of protecting everybody from the reality of life is doing them any good. Like, newsflash, they're going to be fucked when things happen and they need to actually perform and they need to be better than other people. And they're going to go, well, I always thought that everybody was just given shit. I thought we could find a way to be comforted. It's like, no, you're going to have to eventually go out on your own 2 feet and figure it out. And you're going to have to be better than other people. And you're going to be able to sell your point of view. Or you're going to settle for a life far less. You're going to be reliant on other people, dependent on other people to protect you. Like, that's not empowering, being 35 years old and thinking I need to ask my parents for something, I need to ask people for help. You know, I can't handle my own situation, my own shit. Like, come on now, man. This happens too often. So this is the problem, right? We're far too weak. We're far too good at lying to ourselves about what's going on in the real world, and that, hey, if we just actually change the narrative and we stop letting every little thing offend us and being like, hey, I can walk away from this if I don't like it. I can change my narrative. I can change my situation. I don't have to complain to people. I don't have to bitch about shit. Just fix it. Do something about it, right? Your life's not good. It's your fault. Fix it. And here's another cool stat, by the way, in terms of mental health disorder. We looked at it starting in 2011. We started to see a big rise in mental health disorders, depression, anxiety, that kind of stuff. Unfortunately, you know, suicides, which is, again, it's horrible to hear, right? But it's concurrent with the increased ownership of smartphones and digital media use. So we see it, right? Obviously, there's more opportunity now, more potential to connect with people, you know, more job opportunities, that kind of stuff. However, people that abuse that, they leave themselves very susceptible and vulnerable to higher degrees of mental health issues. And obviously, this is a epidemic of itself again, just like obesity. We're seeing huge rises of that, of mental health issues. And mental health awareness is a big thing. But like, we need to get away from just talking about it. We need to fix it. We need to do something. We have to stop saying like, no, everything's okay. And say, hey, if you have mental health issues, if you're going through something, like, we need to actively pursue a way to get through this. Like, we can't just keep saying it's okay. Like, we need to do things that improve our life. We need to improve our situation. We need to actively take steps and take action to improve that for ourselves, right? And we need to take a step away from things that aren't improving our mental health. And we need to go towards activities that improve and develop our mind, our spirit, our emotions, our physical being. Right? It's the only way we're going to get out of this. If we keep thinking that we're just going to get this magic pill or magic answer, or we're going to hear this one thing about self-acceptance and it's going to work for us, you're living a fairy tale. And another one about grip strength, talking about how weak we are, literally. 20 to 26-year-old men nowadays compared to 20 to 26-year-old men 3 decades ago, our grip strength is 26 pounds lower. So that's basically like our generation compared to our parents' generation. Right? Lower grip strength is one of the most prevalent aspects of all-cause mortality. So if you want to really see what can limit all-cause or increase all-cause mortality, look at grip strength. Very good indicator. Grip strength, lower grip strength is linked to serious health problems. Arthritis, we see it, heart disease, stroke, and also neurological conditions. So another reason why you got to get in the gym and fucking lift some weights, pick things up, put it down, press it, pull it, row it, push it, all that stuff. Like, we need to literally work with our hands and be more comfortable with doing hard shit, with going to the gym, getting stronger, literally getting stronger, building our body up, creating a godlike physique, right? Like, doing things where you're like, man, I feel like a fucking beast. I feel good. I feel strong. I feel like I can protect myself. I feel like I'm not dwindling away, right? I'm not becoming frail. But we're not doing that because we're told we're okay. And woke culture doesn't want you to feel like you should have to go to the gym and actually improve your body. That it's okay to be weak and scrawny, and that it's the fitness industry's poor messaging that is causing you to feel this way. And it's a false narrative. Okay, tell me that when you're 7 years old, you're fucking weak as shit, and you're more vulnerable to all-cause mortality. Like, that didn't help you, did it? That bullshit advice didn't help you one bit. So again, let's go away from this fairy tale narrative that we're all okay, we're all equal, and everybody deserves to win. It's like, no, the people that put the work in, the people that actively pursue better, they deserve to win, and they're probably going to win. Does it mean you're going to? No. But at least you're taking your shot. At least you're doing things that are probably going to put you in an advantageous position to do better in life. And that's all you can really ask, right? Is to do better, take control of your life, do the things you can do to make your life something that you're proud of, something that you admire, something you can hang your hat on and say, you know what? Excuses aside, this is the life I wanted to create. I'm happy with it. And there's not a lot unturned, right? And until then, until we take that narrative, and this is why I do a lot of my talks, and this is like everything I do, Strength Squad. I have the SFR training system, Strong, Fit, and Resilient. You know, Brand Rinka 365. Like, it's a lot about strength, and I give talks. My last talk was about resiliency. I'm going to do another talk in about 2 months based on the health and fitness side of it, and we're going to talk a lot about strength and, you know, following programs and the importance of getting stronger mentally and physically, because it's such an opportunity right now. Like, we're so damn weak, we're so fragile, we're so scared, we're so entitled, we want things to get easy, but like, the only way things get easier is if you get stronger. Like, let that sink in. The only way things get easier is if you get stronger. So if you get stronger, if you become more resilient, if you become more capable, more knowledgeable, more educated, more skillful, more constructed, right? More scheduled, grittier. You will notice that things become easier. And that's not by coincidence. Like, when you start seeing situations differently and you actively pursue situations from a different mindset, from a different body, a different reframe of how you see things, life opens up and you start seeing things like, wow, like, I really can do this. And that's the empowering aspect of going away from this nonsense woke culture and finally realizing, like, hey, I'm in control of my situation, I'm in control of my emotions, and I need to do better. And that's basically what it comes down to. All right, guys, hope you liked this podcast episode. Feel free to share it. Like, again, like I said, this is a podcast. More people need to hear it so they take action on their own life. They go out and pursue betterment. They go out and pursue becoming stronger, becoming fitter, becoming more resilient as a human being. And that is going to benefit everybody in society, plain and simple. All right, guys, have a good one. We'll see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.